You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business. Apple warns targeted users of mercenary spyware attacks. CISA expands its malware next-gen service to the private sector. U.S. Cyber Command chronicles their hunt forward operations. Taxi fleets leak customer data. Trend Micro tracks Deuterbear malware. The Bat Bad Butt vulnerability enables command injection on Windows. Cyber criminals manipulate GitHub's search functionality. Scully Spider may be utilizing AI-generated PowerShell scripts. A study from ISC2 sheds light on salary disparities. On our Threat Vector segment, host David Moulton, Director of Thought Leadership at Uni42, welcomes Donnie Hasseltine, VP of Security at Second Front Systems and a former Recon Marine. They delve into the indispensable role of a military mindset in cybersecurity. And our guest, Dr. Sasha Vanterpool, cyber workforce consultant with N2K, introduces the new podcast series, Cyber Talent Insights. And AI music sings the license. It's Thursday, April 11th, 2024. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is your CyberWire Intel Briefing. Thanks for joining us here today. It's great to have you with us. Apple has issued alerts to iPhone users in 92 countries, warning them of potential mercenary spyware attacks aiming to compromise devices linked to their Apple IDs. The company expressed high confidence in the detection of these targeted attacks, emphasizing their specificity towards the individual's identities or professions. Despite the lack of details on the provocations for these alerts, due to concerns over helping attackers elude future detection, Apple reassured users of its diligent internal investigations to identify such threats. This isn't a new occurrence. Since 2021, users in over 150 countries have received similar warnings, with notable alerts sent to journalists and politicians in India. If you are an iPhone user and you believe you are someone who might be a potential target for this sort of thing, you may want to check out Apple's lockdown mode, which adds an extra layer of security protection to your iOS device. We'll have a link in the show notes. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, is expanding its malware next-gen service to the private sector, allowing businesses to submit malware samples for analysis. Previously exclusive to government and military personnel since November, the service aims to enhance cyber threat understanding and protection. The automated system assists in analyzing and sharing cyber threat insights. Eric Goldstein, Executive Assistant Director for Cybersecurity at CISA, emphasized the program's role in improving malware detection and prevention, thereby securing critical infrastructure. The service also accepts other suspicious digital artifacts, but only authorized users can access the results. Since its launch, nearly 400 users have submitted around 1,600 files, identifying approximately 200 suspicious or malicious files and URLs. CISA says they're optimistic about handling an increased submission volume despite recent budgetary challenges. In the past year, U.S. Cyber Command deployed personnel to 17 countries as part of its Hunt Forward operations, aimed at monitoring and deterring cyber adversaries. General Timothy Hogg, the commander of U.S. Cybercom and director of NSA, shared this information yesterday with the Senate Armed Services Committee. These operations, carried out by the Cyber National Mission Force, are designed to defend the U.S. in cyberspace by deterring, disrupting, and defeating cyber threats. By assisting allies and partners in auditing their networks for intrusions and vulnerabilities, these missions help improve global cyber defenses and generate valuable insights for the U.S.'s own cyber protection. Last year, 22 Hunt Forward missions led to the public release of over 90 malware samples, enhancing global internet safety and challenging authoritarian regimes' cyber capabilities. iCabby, a taxi software company, recently resolved a data breach exposing personal information of nearly 300,000 individuals in the UK and Ireland, including names, email addresses, phone numbers, and user IDs. The leak affected diverse individuals, including senior media figures, government officials, former MPs, a senior policy advisor, an EU ambassador, and around 2,000 academics. The breach, identified by cybersecurity researcher Jeremiah Fowler, was due to an unprotected database easily found via an IoT search engine's API. iCabby's apps, serving over 800 taxi fleets in 15 countries, were linked to the exposed customer data. The company, acknowledging the breach as a result of human error during a migration process, quickly secured the database following Fowler's ethical disclosure. Researchers at Trend Micro are tracking the cyber espionage group Earth Hundun, which has been targeting technology and government sectors in the Asia-Pacific region for years. Earth Hundun employs complex tools like Water Bear malware, which has evolved through over 10 versions since 2009. The latest version, known as Deuter Bear, introduced significant changes, including anti-memory scanning and decryption routines, distinguishing it as a separate malware entity. Earth Hundun's operations involve advanced evasion techniques and the use of Water Bear for stealthy network intrusions and data exfiltration. The sophistication of these attacks underscores the necessity for enhanced cyber defense mechanisms and awareness of the evolving threat landscape, particularly for organizations within targeted sectors. Security engineer Ryotak from Flat Security disclosed vulnerabilities in several programming languages that enabled command injection attacks on Windows under certain conditions. Named BatBadButt, this vulnerability arises when Windows applications that rely on the create process function to execute batch files do not correctly escape command arguments, allowing cmd.exe's complex parsing rules to be exploited. This issue can lead to arbitrary command execution if the application executes a command containing user-controlled input without specifying the file extension or improperly escaping arguments for cmd.exe. Despite high CVSS scores reflecting worst-case scenarios, the actual risk depends on specific application implementations. Ryotak advises developers to specify file extensions when executing commands and to properly escape user-controlled inputs, highlighting the necessity for increased awareness and mitigation efforts regarding this command injection vulnerability. Checkmarks tracks cybercriminals manipulating GitHub's search functionality, creating repositories with popular names and injecting malware, notably targeting cryptocurrency wallets. They used automated updates and fake stars to enhance search visibility, concealing malicious code within Visual Studio project files to execute automatically upon project build. The malware, resembling the Kizetsu Clipper, is designed to establish persistence by setting up a daily scheduled task to run the executable, avoiding detection by padding the file size. Developers are advised to exercise caution when sourcing code from public repositories, paying attention to signs of manipulation, such as unusual commit frequencies and the profiles of users endorsing the repositories. A threat actor identified as TA-547 and also known as Scully Spider utilized a PowerShell script possibly created with AI tools like OpenAI's ChatGPT, Google's Gemini, or Microsoft's Copilot in an email campaign to distribute the Rhodomanthes information stealer to German organizations. Researchers from Proofpoint, who have tracked TA-547 since 2017, noticed the AI-generated characteristics in the script's detailed comments and structure. This campaign, impersonating the German Metro Cash and Carry brand, marks TA-547's first use of Rhodomanthes malware, distributed under the Malware as a Service model since September 2022. The script executed Rhodomanthes in memory, avoiding disk detection. This incident highlights the growing trend of cybercriminals leveraging AI for sophisticated cyber attacks, including phishing and malware deployment. A recent study conducted by the nonprofit organization ISC2 has shed light on salary disparities within the U.S. cybersecurity sector, revealing nuanced outcomes for women and various racial and ethnic minorities. Despite the existence of pay gaps, the cybersecurity field appears to be outperforming broader societal norms in terms of pay equity, with signs of ongoing improvement. According to ISC2's research, which collected data from just over 5,000 participants in April and May of 2023, the average annual salary in U.S. cybersecurity roles stands at $147,138. The study highlighted that gender disparities in compensation vary across different job levels within the cybersecurity field. Specifically, women in non-managerial to mid-advanced staff positions earn approximately 5% less than their male counterparts, and the gap widens to 9% among managerial roles. However, the tide turns at higher levels of leadership. At the director and middle manager levels, women slightly out-earn men by 1%, and this lead increases to 4% at the C-suite and executive level. These findings mark a positive shift from previous ISC2 studies, which had recorded gender pay gaps as high as 20%. Claire Rosso, CEO of ISC2, attributed this improvement to the cybersecurity profession making incremental progress in addressing salary imbalances. Rosso also noted the role of unconscious bias in hiring and promotion practices, suggesting that such biases contribute to pay disparities. Despite these encouraging signs, Rosso acknowledged potential limitations in the data, particularly at the higher echelons of leadership, where fewer women may have contributed responses, potentially skewing the results. The study drew responses from 780 women, constituting 15% of participants, compared to over 4,500 responses from men. The ISC2 study highlights a cybersecurity industry that is gradually moving toward greater pay equity, outpacing broader societal trends. While disparities remain, especially in lower to mid-level positions, the progress at senior levels and among various racial and ethnic groups signals a promising direction for the future of cybersecurity employment. Coming up after the break, on our Threat Vector segment, David Moulton is joined by Donnie Hasseltine from Second Front Systems to discuss the military mindset in cybersecurity. Also, my guest, Dr. Sasha Vanterpool, cyber workforce consultant at N2K, introduces the new podcast series, Cyber Talent Insights. Stay with us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. In this segment from the Threat Vector podcast, host David Moulton, Director of Thought Leadership at Unit 42, welcomes Donnie Hasseltine, VP of Security at Second Front Systems and a former Recon Marine. They delve into the indispensable role of a military mindset in cybersecurity.
The one thing that that mostly surprises people when I bring it up is I actually play the bagpipes. So that's one of the weird hidden talents I have.
Welcome to Threat Vector, a podcast where Unit 42 shares unique threat intelligence insights, new threat actor TTPs, and real-world case studies. Unit 42 has a global team of threat intelligence experts, incident responders, and proactive security consultants dedicated to safeguarding our digital world. I'm your host, David Moulton, Director of Thought Leadership for Unit 42. Today, I have a truly inspiring guest, Donnie Hasseltine, Vice President of Security at Second Front and a former Recon Marine who has successfully navigated the transition from military leadership to steering cybersecurity in a fast-paced world of Silicon Valley. Today, I'll share our conversation, which covers Donnie's unique perspectives on what military experience brings to cybersecurity, the critical importance of foundational security practices for startups, and how to cultivate the security mindset essential for today's digital defenders. If you're a veteran looking to pivot into tech, Donnie shares some advice for you toward the end. If you're a startup founder seeking to embed security into your DNA or just fascinated by the intersection of technology and security, this conversation is for you. So let's dive in. Donnie, talk to me about your journey from being the Recon Marine to leading security efforts in the tech industry, and specifically within a startup.
It was a fairly interesting journey. I mean, I spent over 22 years in the Marine Corps. I was in infantry and combat arms and recon as a battalion commander in the later stages of my career. And, I was thinking that I was going to get a stay in and go down that road. But I think two things kind of impacted that, a little bit of some family decisions. But second of all, my last duty station was up here in Silicon Valley. So in doing that, I got involved in Hacking for Defense, which is a Stanford-run program. It's in multiple universities now that takes the Lean Launchpad and applies to DoD IC problems. And I started seeing areas where some of the problems I saw in the military, right, were actually could be solved through commercial tech or creative MVPs, minimum viable products. And in doing that, I started looking like, okay, what are the things we can do on the military side? That led me to start digging a little deeper into cybersecurity because, in my time, both in exercises and combat, the further we've gone along in my career, and even now, you've seen how it may be great if you can maneuver on the battlefield and use combined arms and things like that, but you have to control the electromagnetic spectrum, and you've got to integrate that into your more physical and kinetic approaches in combat. And I found that in a lot of cases, the senior leaders just didn't have that exact background they needed to be able to integrate that. So I went and did a master's in cybersecurity through Brown University. And in doing that, started kind of exploring that further and further, which led me to decide to get out and step in the private sector. And when I did, my first role in the private sector was a small PE firm that was doing B2B SaaS turnarounds. And as you can imagine, if you're taking a SaaS company that's, you know, has flatlined or struggled, has other issues there, if there are issues in the business side, they also have issues in the security side. So built out a cybersecurity program, helped run some of those companies for that firm. And then and then stepped into where I'm at now at Second Front Systems.
How did your military background prepare you for that role? They're very different, but I expect that there's some sort of overlaps.
One of the things I noticed from the military to cybersecurity is really the mindset. So we talk a lot of times about the security mindset and things like that, and how you look at problems essentially. And you know, in my Brown class, I remember there was a great time where I was like watching how people were reacting to things that were being presented out there. And, you know, even to take a very acute example, like we had a physical security portion, obviously. And at one point we were talking about different locks and structures and passing those around. And one of my colleagues, I look over and she's picking the lock. I'm like, were they passing lock picking kits around? Is like, she's like, no, I just have one. I'm like, why do you carry that? I'm like, why not? Right. And it struck me that even though nobody really in the class had a military background, a few did, they all had the same mindset, which was every time I look at something, I can break that, I can get around that, that kind of hacking mindset. And I think that's incredibly valuable in cybersecurity and really hard to teach. The technical skills can be taught. The specifics on how you do things can be taught. But that mindset of where you just kind of have a slightly paranoid look at everything you see and you question like, how do I break that? How do I get around that? Or how can that be done? That's a key mindset that we actively try to teach our Marines on how do they achieve mission, how to get through obstacles. And I think that is really the most immediately transferable skill when you take veterans and you put them in a cybersecurity space.
Inside the military, it's like really mission-driven. Mm-hmm. And one of those things that I think can actually like bring people together. I have felt that same sense of mission inside of cybersecurity. It's in service of something greater than, you know, my next achievement and professionally and or a paycheck. And I'm wondering how you've brought that sense of service from the military into your current role, or if it's something that's just naturally there across our industry.
Yeah, I think it is certainly more naturally there in cybersecurity as opposed to other industries. And I think certainly if you look at my time when I was running startups, I struggled a little bit culturally with that, right? Because the real goal was like, drive product and make a profit. And that just does not appeal a lot of times to folks leaving the military. I think what got me up every day in those roles is, you know, just what you said, is in the cybersecurity side, look, I'm protecting my team, I'm protecting our customers. And even if you take a look at the product, I was like, I could get behind that because when I talked to developers who are using that product, it was making their lives significantly better and allowing them to focus on the things they wanted to focus on. So I think you have to figure out what is that aspect of mission that you can get behind of how, and it often relies on, are you protecting another person or are you making their lives better? I think in cybersecurity, that's a lot easier to wrap your head around. In our current world, Second Front, because we're a public benefit corporation, we can kind of like look at that very clearly. Mission means a lot more and a lot deeper than just making the profit, right? We're focused on how we actually take care of warfighters down the road. But totally agree, I think, and that's a cultural thing for the military, is where are you going to find that kind of mission satisfaction? I think my experience is you do find that in cybersecurity for exactly the reasons you said.
All right, wrapping up here, what's the most important thing that our listeners should remember from our conversation?
Nurture your curiosity, right? Because if you're in a cybersecurity role right now and something doesn't make sense and you're curious about it, you're going to dig into it and you're going to find things that elucidate business risk that you didn't know about.
Donnie, thanks. Appreciate you. And maybe we'll have you back on the Threat Vector soon. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, it was great to be here. Thanks so much.
As I close out today's episode, I'm struck by Donnie's journey. He went from recon in the Marine Corps to cybersecurity in the Valley. Today's conversation reinforced the need our industry has for disciplined leadership, strategic thinking, and a security mindset, something that seems to show up in those who've served. In reflecting on Donnie's insights, it's clear that the intersection of military discipline and cybersecurity expertise is not just about the transfer of tactical skills. It's about a mindset that views security as a mission-critical priority, a commitment to safeguarding the digital frontiers where our modern battles are increasingly being fought. If you're a listener, whether you're a veteran looking to transition into cybersecurity, a startup founder navigating the complexities of security in your venture, or already a cybersecurity professional, I hope Donnie's journey inspired you. To close this episode, I want to thank the Threat Vector team. Our executive producer is Michael Heller. Content and production by Shada Azimi, Sheila Drusky, Tanya Wilkins, and Danny Milrad. I edit the show, and Elliot Peltzman is our audio engineer. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Until then, stay secure, stay vigilant. Goodbye for now.
Be sure to check out the Threat Vector podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And joining me here today is my N2K CyberWire colleague, Dr. Sasha Vanterpool, cyber workforce consultant with N2K. Sasha, welcome.
Thanks, Dave.
So you are one of the hosts of a new podcast series, what I would call a podcast mini-series, that is titled Cyber Talent Insights. What prompted the creation of this new show?
Well, that's basically the work that I do here at N2K as a cyber workforce consultant. So I'm on the Cyber Talent Insights team, and we work with a variety of different organizations to provide them with strategic cyber workforce intelligence. And we've been noticing some different trends and needs and challenges. And we were like, you know, we have some pretty good stuff here that I think is of interest to a lot of people that we should probably get out there and talk about it.
Now, you use this term cyber workforce intelligence. What exactly does that entail?
Yeah, so our cyber workforce intelligence really is actionable insights into organizations' cybersecurity teams' capabilities to help them build effective talent development strategies and training plans to support the challenges that are experienced throughout the workforce management lifecycle, from talent acquisition to talent management and then talent retention. So through that, N2K, we actually provide that through our offerings of cyber talent insights and then cyber talent development.
Well, give me some a preview here of what we can expect to see from the show.
Yeah, so with the show, it is a three-part series. So we're taking these different episodes and shifting our perspective a little bit in each episode. So for example, the first one, we're really taking a look at from the perspective of the enterprise and trying to get an understanding of navigating the landscape for enterprise organizations. And we discuss the various challenges that are experienced throughout this management lifecycle from that perspective. So we talk about different things like poorly crafted job descriptions and job role classifications, as well as the hiring process, the impact of company culture, as well as different talent development strategies and talent retention opportunities that can help with closing the cybersecurity talent gap. So that's kind of the first one that we focus on. And then the next episode, we actually are shifting our perspective more to those current practitioners who are in the field or those trying to break in, maybe the career changers or transitioning military or, you know, newly graduated college students. And we're providing them insight on how to take a market-driven approach to career development and discovering their niche in cybersecurity, and so how they can stand out in this competitive market and aligning personal interests, transferable skills, and experience with their career goals. And then lastly, we focus on that talent pipeline. So those who are coming into the field, where is this talent coming from? So from K-12, higher education, any training or trade schools, different opportunities like that on how they can provide learning and training experiences, but also those resources and the needs and challenges that occur when building this robust pipeline, as well as potential collaboration and partnership opportunities between academia, industry, and government to kind of help build an ecosystem to hopefully be a solution for some of those issues that we discuss.
Well, and I think it's worth or important to capture that this is not you monologuing. You have a couple of co-hosts here. Can you tell me who's joining you and what they bring to the table?
Yeah, so joining me, I have my fellow workforce consultant, Dr. Heather Monthy, as well as our chief learning officer, Jeff Welgen. And I think between the three of us, not only are we the main champions on the Cyber Talent Insights team at N2K, so we can speak to the work that we have done in our current roles, as well as our past experience, which really has a variety of a little bit of everything across the board within the field and outside of the field.
And, you know, I think there's a lot of frustration out there. I think folks are finding that, you know, some of the stories that they hear, maybe the common narratives don't necessarily align with what they're seeing in the real world. You know, I hear folks talking about how, oh, we're always hearing about how there's all these unfilled positions, but I'm right out of college and I have my degree in hand and nobody will hire me, you know, those sorts of things. I mean, and it strikes me that you all are really looking to try to clarify and break through the bubble of some of these stories and misperceptions.
Absolutely. And I definitely do, you know, there's truth to that, of course, that there is this talent gap, but I think there's also this expectations gap and trying to make sure that there is alignment between, you know, what the pipeline is developing these people who are going through whatever education or training program that they go through, and then making sure it aligns to what their actual workforce is looking for. And when they are hiring, you know, are the job descriptions, you know, accurate? Do you really need to have all these certifications for an entry-level position? Do you really need all these years of experience, or can you learn more on the job? There's so many nuances there when it comes to just the hiring process. But then when you're actually working in the field, are you feeling welcomed and supported? Are you getting the professional development and training that you need to grow and stay within the organization that you're employed in instead of bouncing around, you know, and getting a new job every couple of years? Are you being supported and in the current role that you're in, and how we can try and make more collaboration and better alignment between these different areas and these different perspectives that these episodes focus on.
And this series isn't just for the job hunters. I mean, this is great information for folks who are out there doing the hiring as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why we really wanted to try and focus each episode on a different perspective, but having those other people being able to listen in as well. So the practitioner, the employer, and then those who are actually, you know, training and educating those coming into the field. I think that everybody can really get a lot of great insight and some tips and tricks, and just kind of even highlighting some organizations that are doing some really great things out there, and hopefully just kind of get the conversation going as far as, you know, being able to work and learn from each other.
Dr. Sasha Vanterpool is Cyber Workforce Consultant right here at N2K. The new podcast series is Cyber Talent Insights. It will be starting this Friday and for the next two Fridays. If you are already subscribed to the N2K CyberWire daily feed, it will show up in your daily podcast feed. Dr. Sasha Vanterpool, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
Permission is hereby granted, free of charge, to any person obtaining a copy of this software and associated documentation files, the software, to deal in the software without restriction, including without...
What you are hearing is the MIT license for open source software set to music using the AI synthesis engine Suno. Using the prompt, Sad Girl Piano Ballad, Jazz-Trained Female Singer-Songwriter, the AI platform puts out what is arguably a pretty compelling bit of musical artistry. Sure, you could say it lacks soul and it sounds auto-tuned, but does it, really? Another interesting wrinkle is that current interpretation of U.S. copyright laws say this sort of thing is not eligible for copyright protection. I can imagine a future where I can say, "Hey Siri, make me a new David Bowie album based on his catalog, Before Let's Dance." Will it sound authentic, or will it sound like a lame but well-meaning tribute band? And what does that mean to the estate of David Bowie, especially if AI-generated music isn't copyright eligible? If you're like me and you enjoy pondering these sorts of sticky policy issues, be sure to check out our Caveat podcast, where I'm joined by my co-host Ben Yellen, and we do just that. In the meantime, if you'll excuse me, I think I'm going to go listen to Station to Station. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. We'd love to know what you think of this podcast. You can email us at cyberwire@n2k.com. N2K Strategic Workforce Intelligence optimizes the value of your biggest investment, your people. We make you smarter about your team while making your team smarter. Learn more at n2k.com. This episode was produced by Liz Stokes. Our mixer is Trey Hester, with original music by Elliot Peltzman. Our executive producers are Jennifer Iben and Brandon Karp. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpey, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And now, a word from our sponsor, Sixsense. Sixsense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With Sixsense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose Sixsense, visit sixsense.com.